This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Question just came in from our friend Jim Daves in Charlottesville, who apparently has no other urgent news to take
care
of.
There's nothing going on
nothing going on in Charlottesville. So Jim just wanted to know where the chicka stick note is.
It's up there. It's underneath all that stuff.
It is.
Here's your boy Elliot Avent right here with the right in the middle.
Yeah, Elliot's in the middle.
Yeah. All right, so enough of that.
All right. Enough so there's that. The notes, note board.
All kinds of coaches.
Yeah, luminaries, celebrities.
I think a handwritten note is a lost art. I do.
You know, my friend Ben Sutton, who you know, used to run ISP and now Teal Capital and some other fun things. He used to have, when he ran his company, they would do correspondence about the art of the handwritten note.
I'm telling you, anybody can send a text, an email, that's fine. I get it. But the handwritten note, it's touch of class.
There you go.
By the way, I just got some new, speaking of handwritten notes, I just got some new stationery somebody sent to me. Bourbon glass with one cube on the front. Handwritten notes. Talk about the perfect Christmas gift for people. There it is.
People.
Bourbon people.
That's it.
All right, let's get this thing back on track. 844-SAY-ACCN's the number.
Are you ready?
We take your phone calls because this next topic could stir some opinion. I'm just saying.
All right, so we just gave you the best coaching resumes since 2005 with Mark Krikorian setting a bar with the national title the other night for Florida State and the work he's done since taking over that program. So it kind of rolled us into, okay, well, who's having the best year in football and men's and women's basketball right now?
The combo.
Right now. How's it going? So we've gotten some interesting responses on social media. We put the question out on ACC Network on the Twitter feed yesterday. Got some interesting responses, but let's go to the board and see what we got here. Because I think it's interesting to kind of look and see how all this kind of sets up. There's some really interesting discussion to be had here. Pittsburgh, 10-8 in basketball combined, 11-2 in football.
Men struggling, women are off to a good start.
Yep.
Football, they got the title. They got the belt, they got the hardware.
Look at Wake Forest University.
The Swiss are rolling.
My goodness. 26-5. How's that looking for you? Huh?
If you're John Curry and company, you're taking roll going excellent is what that is.
All right. NC State. 9-3, 6-2, 8-1.
Really good.
That's 6 losses and 23 wins.
Really good. Boo
yeah,
Corgan.
It is.
Got a smile on his face.
Absolutely. Louisville, you got 13-3 in basketballs and 6-6 in football. Okay. Carolina, you're 6-6 in football. You're 14-2 in basketball. Courtney Banghart is rolling.
Yeah, they're playing well.
Duke, 3-9 in football. You're 15-1 in basketball.
And you're the latest to send us cool gear.
Yeah.
So that gives
you
a little
points there. I don't know if that's a little bump or not.
Jade sending us some good stuff.
There you go. All right, so we go from that. And social media kicks in here. At Ken's Blackwelder. NC State, y'all already know the football news. Player of the week and freshman of the week in men's basketball. Number 2 in the country in women's basketball. Let's see if y'all finally show respect. What are you talking about?
Hey, by the way, is he talking to us in Brian Kelly words there? Hey, y'all. Y'all need to show us some respect. I mean, is that Brian Kelly? Is he giving us a little BK on
You're
us?
You're 23-6 at Ken's Blackwelder.
You mean we haven't talked
about NC State?
At all?
I wonder if you watched the program.
Not once? We didn't talk about NC State during the football season?
I don't know.
Oh. We'll do a better job.
At Duke football fans, at Duke FB fans, slightly jumping the gun. Duke, Jason Garrett, and Coach K. Is that – what about Kara Lawson? Lawson's in the game.
I know you forgot last year because we didn't have a season per se.
Wait a second, man.
She's off to a good start.
Yeah. All right. Duke, fine. At Aglo54880273. That's quite a long Twitter line. For me, it's Wake Forest. They made it to the ACC Championship. It was a close game until the start of the fourth. In basketball, they're 8-1. Their only loss was to LSU, which is in the top 25. But that is true.
Be more specific. LSU is the number two team in the country, according to the NCAA net.
That's true. Jen Hoover's got women off to 8-1 start, and that's losing Gina Conti and Ivana Ratza.
Yeah.
So Jewel Spear and the Wake women are off to a good start.
Yeah. And given what Wake Forest delivered last week when John Curry come rolling in here now, we are pro Wake Forest.
Right.
Good gifts.
Oh, yeah. Quality. No doubt. So next, at Pressbox OT says it's go Heels.
At Pressbox OT. Overtime.
Yeah.
Okay.
Says it's go Heels on this one. Carolina football 6-6, but with Mack Brown, they always put up a stout opponent. And with the history of Carolina basketball and Coach Davis, 13th in the RPI behind Duke, they'll always be a formidable 1-2 punch, football, basketball.
Well, the basketball is off to a great start, right?
Sure.
And you just talked about Courtney and the ladies rocking it, and Hubert and his guys really playing good basketball. They looked terrific last week, beating up on both Georgia Tech and Michigan. Mac at 6-6, a little disappointing, but they got a chance to play South Carolina, who's looking to finally score against an ACC team, not only in that bowl game, but also against anybody, for that matter, from this league. So, Mac's got a chance to finish it off and go 7-6. That'd be nice.
Wake and NC State at the front of the line.
A lot of tobacco road there.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Coach Forbes of Wake Forest is coming up here in about 15 minutes. We look forward to that.
Right. It is the Home Depot College Football Awards show tonight on ESPN. And we've got some ACC guys up for awards, but it's often a convenient time to remind you that on this date, Chris Winkie won the Heisman Trophy for Florida State as a quarterback. The oldest Heisman winner.
Tell you what, I will never laugh at that. You know why?
Why's that?
Because I still remember the greatest ball fake I have ever seen in person was by that
Chris
dude
Winkie.
Right there,
yeah,
in the Florida State Clemson game where he ball faked it right there in front of me in the end zone,
right,
and threw a 99-yard touchdown pass as the Noles beat Clemson by about 700 points.
Can we go back and freeze the picture of the four finalists, please? There's something to be said there. Here's Winkie in his heyday with the Noles. Slinging it. Look at here. Goodbye. Oh, this is against the Jackets. Florida State in the all garnet.
Man, there were some bad dudes.
All right, look at there on the right. The left is Drew Brees, LaDainian Tomlinson, pinstripes. On the right, Tennessee head coach Josh Heupel.
You like that, don't you?
I like young Drew Brees. Innocent, before I became a saint, Drew Brees.
He's got more hair on his head these days. What happened there? How'd that work?
Stop it. LaDainian Tomlinson, Josh Heupel.
Pretty good group.
Yeah, all players.
Josh Heupel could sling it too, though.
Yeah, Josh Heupel could sling it.
Josh Heupel let it rip. Whoever shows up in
what
New York City.
What about LT, though? LT?
Bad man, no. Kenny Pickett's going to have an experience of a lifetime this week in New York.
No question.
Right, he's one of the four finalists.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he's going to win it. Probably won't, based on what everybody's chirping.
Okay.
But, man, what an experience of a lifetime, though, for him. And anybody that gets to that point, man, you're a dude.
Right.
Right. If you make it to that level in that room – for that night, for that award, you're a dude.
Right.
And that's just the way it is, man.
Well, Kenny Pickett is up for the Heisman. He's also tonight a finalist for the Maxwell Award, which it's a National Player of the Year award. He would become the third Pitt player to win the award. Hugh Green, 1980. Tony Dorsett in 1976. Yeah. He's also a finalist for the Davey O'Brien. He would be the first Pitt player to win that award. The Outland Trophy, the finalists there, Ike Ekwonu of NC State would be the second player to win the award. The great Jim Richer, 1979, who was a pro bowler with the Buffalo Bills and later an airline pilot. Talk about your occupational transitions. And Jordan Addison could very well be the favorite to win the Biletnikoff as the best receiver in college football. He would join Antonio Bryant of Pitt and Larry Fitzgerald of Pitt if he wins that.
Rooting for all of them.
Yeah, boy. We did have some players from the ACC make the ESPN All-America team. Did you get to vote on that, by the way?
If I did, I didn't vote.
I was not given an opportunity to vote on that. Sean Tucker of Syracuse, one of the running backs. Jordan Addison, of course. Zion Johnson of Boston College was the offensive line selection. And Jermaine Johnson, the ACC's Defensive Player of the Year, was one of the defensive ends.
I had a guy yesterday on radio, Wes, mm-hmm. from Texas.
Yes, sir.
Called up and said, Pac, you work for ESPN? I said, I do sometimes.
Oh, no. Sometimes.
No, I mean, I'm employed by SiriusXM and ESPN.
Right.
I said, I do sometimes.
Yeah.
He goes, what kind of pool you got? Pool. I said, well, it depends. Oh,
pull.
Which pool.
Pool, yeah. Pool.
I'm doing a Texas accent how he talked.
Got it.
What kind of pool you got? And I said, well, you know, it depends what you're asking. He goes, well, I'm down here in Texas. I said, I'm well aware of that. I heard you the first time. He goes, we got ourselves a high school football game down here this weekend between A and B.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, that's good. He goes, you think ESPN would like to put that game on television? And I said, well, I don't have any earthly idea. He goes,
Longhorn Network,
man. Well, why don't you call up our ESPN and tell them to put it on TV? I said, well, I'm busy. And he goes, what do you mean you're busy? I said, well, I got things to do. And he goes, well, don't you think that game ought to be on TV? I said, I do. I do think so. But I said, here's the problem. He goes, what's that? I said, ESPN has no idea who I am. He goes, what do you mean? I said, ESPN has no earthly idea who I am.
But you got a parking pass on the truck.
I do have a parking pass.
You can get on campus in Bristol with your truck.
This poor guy was so disappointed that I couldn't just pick up the phone and call and put the game on television. I'm like, I'm sorry, they don't even know who I am. They won't even take my
You really don't remember who the game was?
I don't remember the teams because I'm not a recruiting guy. But whoever this quarterback is that Clemson's getting.
Sure.
Cade Klubnik. Supposed to be great.
Okay.
His team
okay.
is playing in like the Division VI Texas high school football
Quad game. Quad 7, Division VI.
Austin.
Westlake. Westlake. It's Drew Brees' high school.
That's it. Against somebody. And I'm like, well, you know, they
is
don't
the
even know.
Is the kid going to Clemson from Westlake in Austin?
Yeah.
Oh, is he? Okay.
I
guess. They got a lot of quarterbacks out of there.
That's what I understand. Yeah. And then the guy was then the next thing, you know, that led to some guy calling me up from Utah. Man, do you football in the high school in Utah? I'm like, oh, my God. Are we going down it? What path did we decide to go down now? I don't have any pull to ESPN. I can't help you. Sorry.
I must tell you, folks.
None.
Afternoons 4 to 7, ESPNU, SiriusXM, Channel 84. Off campus with the great Mark Packer.
Wrong.
The callers. When the Smack Pack callers, that's a whole nother level.
That's a different group.
It's a whole nother level. They're into themselves.
Yeah.
And fabulous people. But every once in a while, now yesterday there was that call. There was also the call from the guy who was born, literally his mama went into labor underneath the stands.
He's a Texas Tech guy.
At Texas Tech in Lubbock. And he's conflicted about Texas Tech and Mississippi State playing in a bowl game.
Because he likes Mike Leach. Doesn't know who to root for. So, well, if you were born under the stands of Texas Tech,
I'd say you probably need to.
I mean, unless you were born with a cowbell in your hand, I'd sense that you got to root for the Red Raiders. His
right.
name, by the way, is Cool Dude. And his wife's name, Hot Mama.
Can't we just go Bill from Lubbock?
Well, we got Stinking Jeff from Texas.
That's a whole different story. That's a whole different story.
So, I go from dealing with you insanity in the morning to the insanity in the afternoon.
It really? Just like sanity over here.
Sanity, you and your Roddy Jones wardrobe department, to insanity in the afternoon. So it's a perfect balance.
Yeah.
I get three that I know what's going on. Then three, I just, it's a tightrope out.
All I asked was you didn't get to vote on the ESPN All-American
No,
team.
I was not. I told you, ESPN has no idea who I am.
I didn't get asked either.
I'm going to call them up in about a month.
Maybe we ask Andrea Adelson next time.
Renegotiate the contract. We're going to go, excuse me, you are again. What was the name?
Maybe we'll ask Andrea Adelson why we didn't get to vote on the All-American team.
Did she vote on it?
I'm sure. That looks like a .com
I wouldn't
thing.
Want to vote on it anyway.
Maybe Macri took our vote. Maybe Macri voted on behalf of the show.
I couldn't tell you. I have no idea. I don't vote for any of that stuff. You know that. I don't waste time with it.
By the way, Sean Toker's not a finalist for the Doak Campbell or Doak Walker Award.
Which is ridiculous.
But he is an All-American on ESPN and just about everywhere else.
Yeah, I ripped that.
Just so we know.
The fact that Sean Tucker's not on that list is absolutely criminal.
Yeah.
It's criminal.
Sean Tucker should be in Atlanta tonight for the Doak Walker.
There is no doubt about
it. It's embarrassing.
Yep. Totally agree. Totally agree.
That's just a couple guys' opinions. All right. We're asking you for the best combination so far in football and basketball, both men and women. Just so you know, Wake Forest 26-5 combining the two, all three, I should say, the three sports. NC State just right behind, 2 in the win column, 1 in the loss column. They're 23-6. Pretty strong. Pretty strong when
only
you can
Dave
roll right
Dorn
out.
Only Dave would have gotten that call on that onside kick. It would have changed the entire balance of all of this. One play, West Durham. One play.
Oh, God. Really? Wolfpack, good
like,
news.
Don't
despite,
act like I'm not bringing.
Despite Packer trying to, you know, poke the bear a little bit.
Not poking the bear. One play.
That's poking the bear.
Changes the whole dynamic there.
That's
at the
poking the bear. Poking the bear. You know
just,
you're
I'm
poking
just giving
the bear.
You a fact, my man. You don't want to handle the facts, that'd be you problem.
Wolfpack's gotten really good news in the last 48 hours. Devin Leary announcing yesterday he'll be back at quarterback. Peyton Wilson coming back. Grant Gibson, the center. Tanner Engel, the safety.
All good players, too.
Hey, look, just saying. Wolfpack, pretty solid.
You think they're the favorite in the Atlantic next year?
I'm not there yet.
I don't think they are.
It is December.
I'm just asking you.
I'm not there yet. Mm-hmm. I need to see some spring. I need to see some.
I don't think they're the favorite.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. It's a Thursday. And our first guest of the day is fast approaching from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Former co-host of this show. Now head basketball coach.
Wait a second. He was the head basketball coach when he was the co-host.
I understand that.
Steve Forbes joins us from the Twin Cities this morning. 8-1, Steve Forbes. Good morning, Coach.
Morning, fellas. It's a great day here in Winston-Salem. No complaints. No complaints.
Well, I would hope not. I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, you got this whole new roster. And, man, we'll watch your boys up there in Blacksburg this weekend. That's a really good Virginia Tech team. You guys went up there and went, okay, cool. What else is there to do? I mean, that was an impressive W for your team now going on the road.
Well, you know, Mark, when the ball goes in the hole, I'm a lot better coach.
Oh, yeah.
And we made baskets, you know. And, yeah, I have a ton of respect for, as you guys know, for Mike Young and his team. And they're tough. And it was an unbelievable environment. It was sold out. I met the new Virginia Tech football coach when I was walking out of the hotel to go to the game. And he wished me good luck. And I said to him, I really don't think you mean that. But, okay, I'll take it. But I thought we played really well as a team, and you know we got strength in numbers, and we have a lot of depth, and we have a lot of different ways we can score the ball.
I want to go back to a visit we had with Seth Greenberg, yesterday, and he said he paid you a pretty high compliment. He said to go revamp a roster is one thing, but to understand the evaluation process of who you're going to revamp with is another. And he said Steve Forbes does a tremendous job at evaluating the fit for what he needs. So, Alondis Williams, Dallas Walton, Jake LaRavia, what was it in the fit that you saw to help this team And the back part of the question is, did you think it would fit this fast?
Well, that's the first time I think Seth's ever complimented me, so I'll take it. You know, I think it's just experience. Recruiting's like a puzzle. You don't have all the same pieces. You got to put them together. So I look for different dimensions when we start to put together a team, guys that can score, guys that take it off the bounce, guys that can score if they're back to the basket, guys that can stretch it. You don't want all the same skill. You want diversity in your team. And so I thought we did a good job, my staff and I, of evaluating that. I also think that we got some players from some really good programs. Dallas Walton played for Tad Boyle. You know, Linus Williams played for Lon Kruger. You know, Jake Larrabee played for my good friend Greg Lancy. You know, Damari Monsanto is not playing right now. He's out, but he's hurt. But he played for us at East Tennessee State. And so I think we also recruited players, good players for good programs. And I really believe there's a lot of value in that. And, you know, just kind of being an old school recruiter, not going by what I hear but what I see. And it's worked out.
Coach, what's going on up there in Winston-Salem, man? Everybody drinking from the same water fountain. I mean, Dave Clawson has an incredible year. Women's basketball program off to a great start. Soccer program's always good. You've got this thing rocking and rolling. I mean, it's a really wonderful time to be in Winston-Salem.
Well, a lot of that credit goes to John Curry. You know, John hired, you know, a bunch of us, and he's done a great job of leading the program. That was one thing I was really impressed with. I got here in the middle of the pandemic, and I thought John showed incredible leadership through that whole time. And basically, I'm just trying to keep up with Coach Clawson and Coach Hoover. You know, and I've told my players that, honest truth, I told them that once football's over, the bowl game's over, it's our responsibility to keep it going and to keep it going and keep this place, keep the momentum going, get the fans in the Joel. And so that's how we attack it every day.
You can go through the early part of the schedule, and we talked in the couple visits you and I have had about kind of the sequencing you've done with the schedule this year. Mm-hmm. You found out something when you went to the Gulf Coast and played Oregon State and LSU. Then you came back and played Northwestern, and you knew Virginia Tech was coming. You've got South Carolina upstate, VMI, and then you come down here next weekend to play Charlotte on a Friday night, and then Boston College at home before you go to Louisville. That's kind of the rest of December, Steve. What do you want to learn about this basketball team that you haven't learned, I guess, already in these next five ball games?
Well, Wes, you know, one of the things I really like, once finals are over, you can really concentrate on basketball. And so I've typically gone two-a-days during the break. So we do a lot of individual workouts, a lot of shooting in the morning, have team practice in the afternoon. So I would like to see my team just continue to get better and take it one game at a time. You know, that's one thing about having success. You know, you have to learn how to deal with success. You have to block out the noise, and you have to concentrate on the game in front of you. And there's examples all over the country of teams that haven't done that this year and years have passed. And so we're going to stay focused on USC upstate, and then we'll take the next game after that. You know, you're right. The schedule was – there was some purpose to it. I told you that we had five, you know, games at home, and then we had these two games down in Florida. And I thought those games helped us. You know, we came back and beat Northwestern and in overtime, and we had just beaten Oregon State in overtime. And then we went up and beat, Virginia Tech, and we finished the game, which we didn't do against Oregon State, and we didn't turn it over. We had 20 turnovers combined against Northwestern and Virginia Tech, and we had 22 turnovers in the game against LSU. Now, they played different, but I thought we improved, you know, in just that short amount of time.
Coach, I know you're concentrating on your team, but when you do have some quote-unquote free time, what have you seen from the rest of the ACC so far?
Well, I haven't, you know, watched a lot of ACC teams. I do that on purpose because I like to sleep at night, and I don't want to have indigestion, you know. So I'm a little different. I watch other teams play, you know. I've seen Duke one time, and then I didn't sleep for 2 days. I thought Carolina had a great win. I think that win at Charleston was tough. That's a tough place to play. And I applaud them for going there and doing that. That was hard, and I think they probably grew up from that. I didn't watch them demolish Michigan. I saw a couple jump shots Caleb Love was shooting, and I turned the channel. I don't know a whole lot yet. Now, you know, I'll get out that computer and start watching when we start going down the list, but I just really haven't seen a lot of the teams, and I know it's going to be hard, you know, and I know the narrative is, hey, the ACC's down. I don't know about all that. We'll wait and see when the season's over. We can add them all up.
All right. I want to hatch a concept here on you. Your history is unique in that you kind of came at this in a different path. There's not a lot of, you know, you've been a D1 assistant. We understand that. But you cut a lot of your coaching teeth in the junior college ranks. Okay.
Yep.
At all different levels. I mean, you and I have had conversations about the Jayhawk Conference and all these junior college leagues in the Midwest principally, but also in the Southeast too. There's something about that experience that I think could potentially pay dividends to you with the climate of college basketball we now have. Portal, yep. Transfer, grads, all that stuff. How much of your early experience in putting teams together in the junior college ranks has come in handy now at Wake Forest in year two?
It's everything. That's the climate that we're in. And what happens with coaches, I think, Wes, is that there's a lot of anxiety when you lose guys, you know, for whatever reason. And there's a myriad of reasons why guys come and go. I just don't have a lot of anxiety. I enjoy the process each year of building the team, the chemistry, putting them together, and putting them out on the floor. It's nice to have players back, no question. But I don't sweat it if that's not the case. I've been in situations in junior college in the past where I've had 10 or 12 new players. And it's just something I've been used to doing. You know, and I know a lot of coaches don't do it that way, and I get it, and it works for them too. But for me and my experience and being at the junior college level, and the hard thing about junior college is by the time you get them right, they're gone, in all honesty. You know, by the time you get them playing the right way and doing the right things every day, they end up, that's when they're leaving. You know, and that was one of the great things about leaving junior college to come to, the four-year level was – I got to coach some juniors and seniors. I mean, I spent 11 years coaching freshmen, you know, and sophomores. But as my junior college coach once told me, the best thing about me is I'll be a sophomore next year. And so, you know, I get it. I didn't quite get it at that time. I fully understood it. But I think in this climate, it's really everything. It's helped me through this whole deal. You know, and I think I don't see it changing a whole lot. You know, we'll see, but I'm fine with it.
Speaking of climate and climate change, what kind of promotion we got going up here in Winston-Salem this week?
Huh? Well, boys, I'm a Christmas guy, so you know. Let me tell you something, fellas. There's promotions, and then there's the promotion. Okay. Now, if I were you, I don't know if you got a game on Saturday, but I'd probably drive to Winston-Salem and I'd probably camp out to get one of these. There's only 400 lucky people are going to get this Cousin Eddie vintage hat from Christmas Vacation. If you really want to get into it, I would rent a Winnebago and drive up here and sleep in it. But please don't put your sewage down our drains. But, I mean, it's a big day. It's a big day. I'm thinking about sleeping out to get one myself. But this is one of the best promotions that I've ever been a part of. And it's got Wake Forest right here.
Look at
Wake
that.
Wake Forest.
Yeah.
I mean, Wake Forest. These are awesome. These are awesome. I know you want one.
I do.
Yes, we do.
I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
In fact, I'm stunned we don't have one for the basement to promote that even going into the weekend. Those are beautiful.
I will tell you this. If you put it on Chester, I will be ecstatic if you put it on Chester.
Wait. I've got some breaking news, Steve. Some breaking news. I want to see, Jen, can we get Coach Forbes' reaction when I tell him this? It is going to be 70 degrees Saturday in Winston-Salem.
Oh, let's go. I mean, hey, listen, students, listen, I know some of you still have finals on Saturday. You won't have them at 7. Come on down. Come on down and get you one. I mean, my head's already sweating. I mean, look, I'm already sweating, you know. I just don't think – I can't imagine there's a better promotional gift than this thing right here. Listen, guys, I couldn't find my Griswold family vacation T-shirt this morning. I would have worn it. I'm sorry. I had it ready to go, and I don't know what happened when we moved. Can't find it.
I got you.
Here's what's so great about that hat. Not only do you use it now, you can use it for future events, whether it be the Riley Skinner Invitational Bowl game.
When
we get into January and February, when it gets a little brisk here in Winston-Salem, it'll be perfecto, man.
Yeah.
Do you think it looked good on the golf course?
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Old Town? What do you think? Old Town?
Old Town. Yeah, you'd look great at Old Town. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Two thoughts here. One, what we really need is for you to arrive at one of these ports of call for basketball, I don't know, when you go to Syracuse in late January. And you know how on ACC Network and ESPN we have these cuts every once in a while of coaches and teams arriving? If you step down off the old Academy bus there in Syracuse and walk into the Carrier Dome wearing that, you'd be the man, first of all.
Guarantee you.
Second is this. I've noticed this logo a couple times, and it seems to proliferate from basketball. Maybe it's something Curry's doing. If so, good for him. I don't want to take away credit. But the top hat that I see on the left sleeve, the top hat, by the way, I got to tell you, that's a sharp logo. I like that logo right there. I think that is that looks sharp. I'd like to see that on the front of the shirt, not just on the sleeve, you know? That's unique to the Deacons, I think.
I mean, I'm not with the branding police, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know who does that, but I think I could wear one. You know, maybe I should just wear one. I think this, you know, when we played, I told you guys when we played Wofford back in the day, I gave Mike Young one of my bobbleheads when we were shaking hands at tip-off. Maybe I'll give Coach Boeheim one of these when I walk out the tunnel there. And hand him one. Maybe him and I could wear one during the game. What do you
think? That'd be good. I like
it. Well, there's only one thing missing. a little Deacon beer that we got from Curry.
That's Deacon Brew.
Deacon Brew. That's it right there. That's the only thing missing right there, Coach.
Oh, man.
I like it.
Perfect.
It's a little too early, but, hey, let's go.
Yeah. How about the hat, though, on my man's head? It's solid, isn't it?
That's a Billy Packer special.
Yeah, yeah.
I can tell. Yeah. Makes him a lot taller.
That's exactly right.
Hey, Steve, thanks as always. Good luck this weekend. And we're looking forward to having the hat here in the basement.
Oh, it'll be in the mail today, fellas, I promise you.
All right.
Keep up the great work.
Be well, my man. Look forward to seeing you soon. Steve Forbes, head basketball coach at Wake Forest. Deacons have USC Upstate, VMI. And then in Charlotte at Spectrum Center, part of a pretty big day of basketball at Spectrum Center on Friday.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
And we showed you going to break. Pitt's women, Boston College men, and Wake men are already kind of trending north here ahead of last year's schedule, right? I mean, it's just really good starts for teams like that. There is a note yesterday that came out here about a football coach in this league that is phenomenal, too.
This would be known as a bar bet. This, what we're about ready to show you, is a bar bet. That's what we like to nickname it, because this is one of those you want to impress your friends, throw this one on them.
The only coach in NCAA history to win 10 games in a single season at four different schools. Dave Clawson. Fordham, Richmond, Bowling Green, and Wake Forest.
How good is that?
Holy smokes.
That one, you could go find your favorite college football friends and throw that question on them and say, I'm going to give you 15 guesses on your mark, get set, go. And they'll go 0 for 15. That's strong.
Yeah.
That is really strong.
I mean, it's muscle. That's doing it's program building, and people say it, right? How many builds great programs? That's building.
It's called scoreboard is what that's called.
Yeah.
Four different schools.
Ooh. Huh? That's so hard to do.
And you know what? How smart was it for Wake Forest to say, hey, he's our guy. Mm-hmm. He fits here. And you know what? It's reciprocated.
Right.
And Coach said, you know what? I like it here. Like, what he's doing is spectacular.
Yep.
I know they're disappointed in the ACC championship game, but hey, man, Wake won the division. That was a third quarter game. It's 24-21. Could have gone either way. Give Pitt all the credit in the world. Had a terrific year, too. But for Dave Clawson and Wake Forest to end up double-digit in wins, win the division, go into the Gator Bowl, what a spectacular season.
Yep.
And they're going to be good next year, too. You're talking about NC State with all these guys coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Go look at that Wake Forest roster.
Right.
Especially the offensive side. And see how many guys are coming back.
Yeah.
They're going to be good again.
They will be good. And telling you, another strong league of quarterbacks.
Better have one. I know this much. And if you don't, you know that it's an uphill battle.
Right.
If you don't have one.
All right, here's the note on basketball that's it's been really interesting. All right, so a year ago, Wake Forest was 6-16. The Deacons have already got 8 wins. Boston College, 4-16. They've already got 6 wins. But the Deacons, I'm telling you, this 8-1 start, the win Saturday pack is the one that got your attention, right?
It was. I mean, you know, Oregon State's one thing. LSU's got a really good club. So, I mean, I could go either way. I get all that. But when I watched this game over the weekend, I was like, well, because I really thought, you know, because I'm high on the Hokies.
Mm-hmm.
At home, too, they're really tough.
Yep.
And I thought, Wake, okay, you're off to a good start. You go up there, you'll get beat 15 points, catch you later. And, you know, Steve Forbes will figure the thing out moving forward. They had control of the game.
I mean,
that was no joke what they did. And, of course, Coach said, hey, I'm a lot smarter when we make shots. I get that. But, man, Wake played with supreme confidence. And they beat a Virginia Tech team that I'm telling you I think is one of the top third of the league.
I'm with you.
Worst case scenario. I think they're that good. And to go on the road and put up that kind of performance and win by double digits kind of going away.
Right.
That's one that we will look back at the year and go, hey, remember that game when Wake Forest went and played in Blacksburg? Maybe that was that we had a turning point topic the other day with football.
Yep.
We may look back from a basketball perspective at that particular game for Wake Forest when they went on the road against a really good Virginia Tech team and went, not today. It's our game. Really impressive.
Earl Grant and Boston College are off to a great start, too. Compared to a year ago, this is a group that went 4-16 last season. They're already at 6-3. And a team that is playing very well. You see James Karnick inside, the big fella 33. They are a fun group to watch now. From the perimeter, they get scoring. DeMar Langford, Makai Ashton Langford, two guys to keep an eye on. This Karnick is Captain Canada, by the way.
Yeah.
Better get ready for this show.
I know it, no doubt.
Yeah, he's fun.
And I was, again, surprised. We don't know a whole lot.
That's right? It.
When you're watching these games early. And I just know that Notre Dame's got a lot of experience. And when Mike Bray's got old teams, they're normally pretty good. They got punked. I mean, there was no fluke in that game either. I mean, BC was really impressive. I know they were at home. But what your expectations of what you perceive you think's going to happen, then you watch these games and you kind of go, boy, I really don't know anything yet. Yeah. Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, a perfect example. Same thing with BC. Beating up on Notre Dame.
Let me kind of give you a couple thoughts here on Boston College and Wake Forest, and then we're going to dive into what Lance White and Pittsburgh have done here early on the women's side. BC has done this much like Steve Forbes and Wake Forest. Earl Grant has been able to take advantage of the portal and transfers. We talked about Karnick. He's a transfer from Lehigh. Makai Ashton Langford was there a year ago. He's a transfer from Providence. T.J. Bickerstaff, who's starting for him in the backcourt. He's a transfer from Drexel. You know, they've got guys up and down the roster. Frederick Scott's not played as many minutes. Grad transfer, Ryder. And they've got Jaden Zachary helping him out. He's a Chipola Junior College guy. So, again, the chess pieces, they're moving around the table. You acquire some, you push some. I mean, it's really fascinating to watch how this comes together. And on the backside of this, we're starting to get answers. Now, Can BC sustain? We'll wait and see. But right now, it's a really good story and good for Earl Grant in year one.
Well, and I saw the celebration afterwards in the locker room. There's a different energy and vibe with BC right now. No knock on Coach Christian and all that stuff. We had a terrific relationship with him. But you can get a sense that there's a fresh enthusiasm of BC basketball, and it's a whole new roster. We keep talking about it. I remember you and I having conversations back in April. We were talking about basketball, and I was like, man,
who knows?
Let me see what a roster looks like with this transfer portal, because teams are really transforming overnight into a completely different beast than what you're used to. And now here we are basically 10 games into a college basketball season, and you're starting to find out that answer, that what you perceived a team to be could be totally different.
Well, and here's the question I'd ask you. Used to be you'd recruit to systems. Now, if you're a coach, you got to adjust your system to who you can get.
That's right. Exactly right.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the cases as well. The women's story that's probably the feel-good story so far of the early season is what's happening with Lance White in Pittsburgh, a program that has perennially kind of struggled the last few years, seemingly has kind of caught fire. They're 8-2 already. They only won five games a season ago. Amber Brown was with us at the tip-off in October. She's their second leading scorer. Jayla Everett is averaging about 16 a game. Deshaunette Harris, 9.7 points a game. And you know what? It's a good story, and good for Lance White and Pittsburgh to be off to the start they are. They've picked up wins against Rutgers on the at home, 58-50. Nice for them. They've beaten Radford and Lafayette and LIU. Maybe not the headline schedule that you'd see in women's basketball, but you know what? When you fought it, you got to find some confidence early before you get to ACC play.
Yeah, and we'll go deeper in the dive of women's hoops with Kelly Gramlich, who will join us in the Power Hour. And there's some real, still good, feel-good stories early. And you mentioned North Carolina off to a great start. I think Notre Dame's getting ready to emerge again. We know about Louisville. We know about NC State. Virginia Tech's gotten off to a little bit of a shakier start than I thought we thought they were going to be, but they're going to be really talented. There's a lot of good clubs.
Yep.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.